like to welcome you again to Great Resolutions. Today we're going to start a new series on A.B. Simpson. And my name is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
It's good to be here again, Marty, here with you.
Well, today, Bill, we're going to start with, go all the way from the time of A.B. Simpson's birth and cover his years of coming to Christ and his salvation, and then cover his years of education and training and perfecting and see some of the Lord's dealings with him, and then first number of years when he began to serve. So, most of the time when we consider a biography, it's very similar to a study when we study the life of Christ. I think we maybe mentioned this last time. We like to study both his person as well as his work. And I think that's the same with most of the Lord's servants. It's very good to look at what kind of life experiences shaped them and what kind of vision did they have and how this developed and grew in their life and how that motivated them in their living and in their work. And today we come to probably one of the most important Christian workers of his time is our brother A.B. Simpson. And I know we're quite familiar with some of his hymns, and we enjoy his hymns really have brought us to experience Christ in a subjective way and to know the Lord in his indwelling. And that's why I think it's good to look back. How did he arrive at some of the ministry that he began to pour forth? Where did this issue from? What kind of life and what kind of work did he do? That's kind of what we want to take a look at today, Bill.
That's true, Marty. The person and the work, that's everything. Simpson, in my experience, even though I was raised in a very fundamental and evangelistic environment, we never heard of A.B. Simpson. And when I came into the Lord's recovery, I began to realize, some of our top hymns that we have in our hymn book were written by Simpson. I was trying to figure out who in the world is A.B. Simpson, never heard of him. But I think we need to do service to the Lord's children and to the young people that may be listening to this. So we need to look at his life and work, how much he was instrumental, in bringing in a great measure of life to the Christian church. Also, we were told by Brother Lee, and while Brother Lee was alive, Brother Lee, a number of times, I remember he would say, out of all the Christian servants that came out of the United States, Brother A.B. Simpson was the most spiritual in the 20th century. That always stuck with me. And when Brother Lee used the word spiritual, he did not mean in a negative way, but I mean a person who was full of Christ, full of the Spirit, full of life, full of the truth, full of the Word. He was very, very, he was the most spiritual person, Brother Lee said, that the United States gave to the body of Christ in the 20th century.
Well, Bill, it's interesting to find a brother who is on both sides, one who is very active in his service, and also one who, like you say, is very spiritual in his content and in his knowledge of the truth and experience of Christ as his life. And we know our brother A.B. Simpson, he was a very strong, active soul winner. He really preached the gospel and was really burdened for the lost. At the same time, he was very active in raising up new believers and in training Christian workers. And he passed through a lot of experiences himself. The Lord called him out of the denominations. And not only that, our brother Simpson, he wrote over 70 books on the Bible and the Christian life. You know, in our bookstore here in Chicago, we have a number of the books by A.B. Simpson.
Right.
And he has a very rich ministry. He's written very many hymns and poems. And somewhat, you could say, his focus, his gospel became to be known as the fourfold gospel,
mm-hmm.
where he referred to, we need to preach Christ as the Savior, as the sanctifier, as the healer, and as the coming king.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that as we read his biography, we find out that these were four very significant experiences in his own personal life. He came to know the Lord in these ways, and then this began to be his message. His message was Christ in these different aspects. Of course, Simpson later on became the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. This was a affiliation of groups of Christians who were both pursuing to know Christ and to know him in an inward or deeper way, and also some who were burdened for the gospel and the missionary work to go forth. It was not necessarily in the beginning. There was no desire to set up another denomination.
Right.
But this was a Christian and Missionary Alliance. This just gives us a little brief sketch of some of his work. Now I think we'd like to take a look, go back to his roots, some of his heritage and his upbringing.
Right, Marty. The Lord led him, you know, through his life course. He was born in 1843, passed away in 1919, lived to be about 76 years of age. At the beginning of his life, because of his upbringing in the strict Presbyterian denomination, he received a lot of help. On one hand, though, of course, it was quite strict. And then the Lord led him out of the Presbyterian fold, you might say, and he became involved, as you say, Marty, in that Christian and Missionary Alliance. He never intended, as you say, to form another denomination. I think he had the real conviction that the Lord was not burdened to set up yet another denomination among hundreds of already existing denominations. I know he had, of course, problems with the Pentecostal movement, I think in the 20th century. And then he pulled out of the Pentecostal movement around 1915 because of their insistence that tongues is the unique manifestation of the Spirit,
right,
or gifts. So that led him, no doubt, out of that particular kind of movement into to found the missionary Christian and Missionary Alliance. And there he was very much burdened for church activity, as well as the church at large would be prevailing in preaching the gospel. He really was after to win souls, to bring the unchurched masses to Christ, and the Lord did lead him out of organizational denominations into something that he felt was more a building up of the body of Christ rather than a fixed denominational paradigm.
Well, Bill, you know, a lot of our views in our Christian life is based not only on our teaching, but also on our heritage, and sometimes even includes our family heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And Simpson was no different. He, like you mentioned, he came from a very strong Presbyterian background. His family immigrated to Canada from Scotland,
mm-hmm.
and his heritage was with a group that was known as the Covenanters.
Right.
And they were apparently pretty persecuted back in Europe and Scotland prior to their coming. In fact, mm-hmm. I think that's why some of them left Europe to come to the States and to Canada at that time.
Right.
Then his mother had some impact on him. She apparently was a very sensitive and poetic person, and she cultivated in Simpson a love for words and a love for books. And then on the other side, you have his father. He was very industrious. He was very religious, strict disciplinarian, and an elder of the Presbyterian Church. And he drilled his children weekly with the catechism and, you know, made sure they were not playing on the Sabbath.
On Sabbath, right.
So, actually, with this kind of background, these did have some impact on Brother Simpson as he was growing up, and he really didn't enjoy this kind of stern mold in the beginning, but later on he said he began to realize this was like the law. It had two effects. One was that it preserved him, and secondly, that it conducted him unto Christ. It really showed him his need for the Lord, and gave him a real proper, wholesome discipline, and even a some feeling toward the evil things, that he would stay away from these things.
Right.
So he had a pretty healthy family upbringing according to his background, and of course this worked in him. And the Lord, of course, had his hand upon him. In his biographies, you read about how Simpson, he was miraculously kept from
Right.
saved from death a couple times,
Yeah,
apparently.
I think three or four times, Marty. Yeah, one by falling off of a scaffolding. A couple of times near drowning, so the Lord really preserved him.
Amen. But this kind of environment, I think, really was working in him. And actually, I think it's like we have learned, Bill, that this is the sanctifying of the spirit, even prior to our salvation, enlightening us within and working in our environment without, and bringing us to come to know Christ in a rich way. And I think this was what was happening in Albert Simpson as he was growing up.
No doubt the Lord was really working within him and working on him. It's interesting that his mom, similar to what Hannah did with Samuel, loaned Samuel to the Lord for the rest of his life. And having lost one of her children earlier, she was determined to give A.B. Simpson, when he was born, to the Lord, that he would be sanctified unto the Lord for the Lord's use. So the Lord really honored that heart and that prayer of his mom, and Simpson really developed quickly spiritually in that, like you said, the literary upbringing. You can tell by Simpson's hymns and his writings. He was a very educated person, and he had a tremendous way. And when you look at his hymns, his lyrics, his style, his use of verbs and words and sentences, marvelous. He was exceptional with English, so he could put together these phrases and hymns in a way of really flowing. He was quite gifted hymn writer. And of course, he at a young age, again, so it's so important that we receive the Lord at a young age. I think he was, what, about 14 or so? Then, that he evidently it mentions that that the Lord touched him about those verses, "Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." And then evidently at one point, at age 14 years of age, a young boy, he knelt down in prayer. He just restfully accepted the forgiveness of his sins, and he realized the sweeping away of all his fears, and he realized he was delivered, he was regenerated. He likened it to what happened to Saul of Tarsus on his way to Damascus, that the scales fell from his eyes. So he had a definite salvation experience, solid, sure, definite, that lasted for the rest of his life.
Yeah, it's very sweet the way the Lord brought him to the Lord. I know when I read his biography, I was so impressed that young people, even from a very young age, can have some understanding and knowledge of the truth. And he had heard about regeneration, and he knew that only God could, in some mysterious way, cause a wonderful change to take place in him. But he also realized that he had not yet experienced this, and he was somewhat, even had, sounds like both a physical and emotional breakdown.
Yeah, right. I noticed that.
And he was crying out, and his father came to him, and his father prayed for him. But even his father, even though he was a very strict religious man, it sounds like he did not really clearly know the way of peace himself, the way of salvation.
Right. It was somewhat complicated, and it was not that much of a help to A.B. Simpson.
Right. So Simpson said, "No one shared with me the simple way of believing in the promises and the way of accepting salvation, which was fully and freely provided." So, like you say, finally he read in a book, and he especially lighted upon that verse about him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And he did end up really falling on his knees to pray and really receive Christ and the forgiveness of his sins. And Simpson testified that after his new birth, he had a really early joy of salvation right away that came. And also he began to experience a real, you could say, a rapid growth in his spiritual life, mainly because he just became hungry for the scriptures. And I think this is really a good thing to point out, Bill, that this is a real key to growth, is to have a hunger for the word. And it's recorded that Simpson just took the word, took the scriptures right into his soul. He said he had an unspeakable ecstasy just to read the word, which were formerly just empty words to him, all of a sudden became divine revelations that became so new and brought him fresh light.
I think it's important to point out, Marty, that 3 years later, about the age of 17, of course, the Lord is still growing him. He's still, physically, he's still maturing physically as a young man, and that at the age of 17, he came up with this thought of actually writing down a contract with God in words. I felt that was quite interesting that he was that serious with God that he would write a physical contract, a piece of paper. He wrote down that he wanted a covenant with God, to carry out whatever the Lord would had for him, and that he would sign it. And then throughout his life, I was touched. He referred, many times we stumble, we maybe backslide, we kind of let the Lord down now and then. But in even despite those failures, those mistakes, a number of times Moody, I mean, Simpson would refer to, and he would even get that piece of paper, that initial contract that he wrote when he was 17, and look at that and review that and give his life back to the Lord again. That's quite something.
Right. And in this covenant, you could really see the seeds of his whole life and of his service. Mainly he asked for a couple things in particular. He asked the Lord, number one, to give him a double portion of the Spirit so that he could proclaim the Lord to transgressors, so he could preach the gospel. Then he also asked the Lord to sanctify him and make him a real soldier of the cross. So I really like the, let me just read one little quote here, Bill. He summarized, he said, he prayed, "Lord, now give me thy spirit and thy protection in my heart at all times, and then I shall drink of the rivers of salvation and lie down by still waters and be infinitely happy in the favor of God." So this is a very sweet covenant, and like you mentioned, he did renew this a couple times as he went on in his Christian life.
Right, that's very good. Of course, right after that, he was quite burdened to gain a formal education. And of course, his older brother, they could probably only afford one education. But somehow he went to his father and said that if he himself, AB, could be educated, that would be good. So eventually, somehow they worked it out where AB was able to be, Albert was able to go to that, be admitted to that Knox College in Toronto, where he studied Hebrew, Greek, theology, church history, government, so on. So you could tell Albert was not an uneducated person. He no doubt was really quite educated formally there. But on the other hand, he began to see the dangers of the worldly life around him. I know one of his roommates was not so much at all a believer, and would have these parties in his dorm room all the time. So after a period of time, his roommate would have all these guys over for these parties in his dorm room, and that began to adversely affect Albert's faith. But eventually the Lord brought him through those difficult college years. They were not easy. They were not easy because of the worldliness. They were not easy. I mean, this is Knox College. This is a very stern, strict Presbyterian college there in Toronto, Canada. And not only so, he barely made it through financially.
Right.
At different points, he would just kneel down and pray that the Lord would be able to financially keep him in that school until he graduated. And so he did eventually graduate from Knox College.
Yeah, that's really a story about his years of college that he had promised his father, that he would go to college if he didn't require any funds from the family. So he had to really call out to the Lord. He records a couple times where he just would go out into the schoolyard and at night and just lay down and just cry out to the Lord to supply him. And actually, this was quite a good learning, not only in his courses, but his learning to trust the Lord to meet his needs, even while he was going through college. And he said, he testified later, he said, "The Lord did not fail me then, nor has he failed me yet." And he was encouraging others that the Lord is so trustworthy that we can depend upon him in this way. Well, I think, Bill, maybe this is a pretty good point to stop because this really shows Simpson's upbringing and education and early experiences. Maybe next time we can continue and how he began to learn to serve.
On to Louisville, Kentucky, right?
That's correct. So maybe we'll stop here. I appreciate again the time together.
Yep, I'm looking forward to Marty to getting more into Simpson's life and work. I think we'll have another couple sessions which will be very enjoyable to our listeners.
I agree. I think Simpson is quite a good pattern to us in many ways, and hopefully we'll see that in the next time or two. All right. Thank you, Bill.